Well, during the season of Lent, our focus has been on encounters that different people in the Gospels had with Jesus and how those encounters changed their lives. And today we're looking at those encounters and what they may have to say to us. And on this Easter Sunday, I want us to look at one particular encounter that Jesus had with a woman by the name of Mary from Magdala. This encounter is recorded in all four Gospels, but today I'm going to read it out of the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. It's part of the traditional Easter story where we read, "After the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices to anoint the body of Jesus. Very early on Sunday morning at sunrise, they went to the tomb. On the way, they said to one another, 'Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?' It was a very large stone. Then they looked up and saw that the stone had already been rolled back. So they entered the tomb, where they saw a young man sitting at the right wearing a white robe. And they were alarmed. 'Don't be alarmed,' he said. 'I know you are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is not here. He has been raised. Look, here is the place where his body was placed. Now go and give this message to the disciples, including Peter. He is going to Galilee ahead of you. There you will see him just as he told you.' So they went out and ran from the tomb, distressed and terrified. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. She went and told his companions. They were mourning and crying, and when they heard her say that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe her. After this, Jesus appeared in a different manner to two of them while they were on their way to the country. They returned and told the others, but these would not believe it. And last of all, Jesus appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating. He scolded them because they did not have faith and because they were too stubborn to believe those who had seen him alive." The word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, we ask for you to speak to us today through these words of faith and through the whispers of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, I've had some rather interesting encounters with people over the last 6 weeks or so. I've had random conversations with seven different people outside of church that were remarkably similar in their content. First, I was on a flight back to Syracuse from Chicago, and the man who sat next to me struck up this conversation. And he eventually asked what I did for a living. And when that happens, usually the conversation, when I tell him I'm a pastor, the conversation either shuts down or they want to talk about religion or church or maybe some challenge that they're going through, but changes. Well, this guy on the plane told me his story about trying to be a Christian and then giving up. He grew up going to church, but and believing the major stories of the Bible, he knew them. But something happened in the church of his youth that just really turned him off. And while he still believes in God and tries to follow the teachings of Jesus, he just feels disconnected. Then there was this guy in the steam room at the Y who told me all sorts of things about his personal life. It was way too much information. I didn't ask to hear this. I never did tell him what I did for a living, but for some reason, that steam room turned into this kind of confessional booth. It was just the two of us, and there were a lot of steamy stories, which I'm not going to share. But this guy had been in a really tough place, and for the last number of years, he'd kind of bounced along the bottom. And being open to God wasn't something that he even thought about. He did say as a kid he went to church with his grandma on occasion, but never thought much about God since then. Then there was the dental hygienist and her story about believing in something. Still not really sure what that is, but she believed in something. And then there was the guy who x-rayed my wrist after I fell on the ice. He grew up going to a church that was very rigid and judgmental and had a very narrow understanding of the Bible. And he said, while I still believe in God and try to follow Jesus, I have a hard time because I also believe in science, and I don't really believe all that Bible stuff. And he seemed kind of shocked when I said, well, you know, I think faith and science aren't enemies. They're kind of partners in the search for truth. They just come at it from a different vantage point. He said, well, I never really thought of it that way. So in all these seven encounters with people who had left church and left any kind of religion behind, they were still open to this, as they put it, God thing. They were still interested in knowing more about Jesus and what he said and what he taught. And with all seven, I kind of shared my faith and how Christ has helped me through challenges and how it gives me hope, not only in the present, but in what is yet to come. I actually invited them all to check out our church and said, you know, we're far from perfect, especially the pastor, senior pastor, that is. And I said, I think we're a pretty accepting bunch that understands that everyone encounters God a little differently. That each person is unique, and God has a unique way of encountering us exactly where we are. And that's kind of been the focus of our season of Lent, looking at how Christ encountered different people, how he met them in their own unique circumstances, and how each of them had their own unique stories and their own breakthroughs of faith as they encountered Jesus. And that was certainly the case for this woman by the name of Mary from Magdala that we read about in our scripture reading for today. In John's Gospel of the Easter story, it's Mary Magdalene who comes first to the tomb. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and I don't know where they've put him." It's interesting that Mary Magdalene is the first to discover the empty tomb. While there's a lot of stories and theories and speculations about Mary that we won't go into today, we actually know very little about her. All the New Testament really tells us about Mary is that she encountered Jesus as he preached throughout Galilee, that she had been possessed by seven demons but had been healed, and of course that she announced the resurrection. The fact that she is so important in the resurrection story but basically absent in the rest of the New Testament has led to all sorts of speculation. But what we do know comes to us in the story of Christ's death and resurrection. As Jesus hangs on the cross and is breathing his last breath, it's Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, and Salome who are there keeping watch. And I've had a couple of friends who are women pastors point out to me that it was three women who stayed to the end while the disciples went off. Thought that's interesting. But it was a horrible, slow, brutal death. Yet they stay. And finally, the hour comes. It is finished, Jesus says, and he bows his head. His body is bound in linen and carried into the garden, buried in a tomb. Before dawn on the third day, it's Mary Magdalene that rises to anoint Christ's body, and she makes her way along with Mary, mother of James and Salome, to the grave, and it's empty. The Lord is gone. She's confused, and she's terrified. She races back to tell Peter and another disciple, probably John, and Peter and the other disciples start for the tomb. Both are running, and they confirm what Mary Magdalene has reported to them. The disciples leave the scene, go home, but Mary, paralyzed with grief, stays in the garden in tears. And then comes a voice and a question. "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she says, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turns around and she sees Jesus staying there, but she doesn't recognize him. "Woman," he says, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he's the gardener, she says, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I will go get him." Then Jesus says to her, "Mary." She turns around and cries out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. There in this very moment, when Mary Magdalene is crushed with grief and despair, the risen Lord comes to her. I want you to get this. He encounters her where she's at, in her grief, in her pain, and it changes everything. It's a spiritual breakthrough for Mary. And she goes to the disciples with the news, "I've seen the Lord." They didn't believe. But see, she had this encounter. They had not. She has this spiritual breakthrough. They had not. And the text says Jesus appeared in different manner to two of them, and they returned and told the others, but they would not believe. And last of all, Jesus appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating, and he scolded them because they did not have faith and because they were too stubborn to believe those who had seen him alive. So here's the point. Faith is a gift. Faith is a gift. It's not something we have figured out. It's the result of our encounters with the living God. It's the result of God meeting us where we are and opening ourselves up and allowing God to break into our lives. Several months ago, my wife Kath and I went to see the Ruth Bader Ginsburg movie On the Basis of Sex. And while we were waiting for the movie to start, you know, waiting 15 minutes through previews, there was this preview that came up on the screen for a Christian movie called Breakthrough. Now, I'm not usually a fan of Christian movies. They tend to be a little corny, in my humble opinion. But this preview gave me the chills. It was the true story of a family whose adopted teenage son, John, fell through the ice on a lake outside of St. Louis, Missouri on January 19th, 2015. John and his two buddies were playing on the ice when the three of them suddenly fell through. His two friends were able to hang on to the edge of the ice until first responders arrived, but John was unable to hang on and went under, spending 45 minutes submerged. So there was little, if any, hope. And after the rescue team pulled the first two boys from the water, they began a desperate search for John with little hope they would find him alive. They were about to give up and to call in the recovery divers when one of the first responders who admits he's an atheist. And he said, "I heard a voice." And that voice told him to look in a different spot. And so he took his long recovery rod and he poked it a few feet in a different direction. And he felt something. It was the boy's lifeless body on the bottom of that lake. And they were able to hook him and pull him up and drag him to shore where they tried to resuscitate him. And they worked on him all the way to the hospital, and a team of doctors came running into the emergency room when he arrived, but they tried to resuscitate him to no avail. He was dead. The medical staff felt defeated. They left the room, gathered outside the emergency room, and allowed his mother to come in and to say her last goodbyes. It was there in the emergency room where she gave this fervent prayer. I mean, the whole emergency ward heard this. She gave this fervent prayer for God to save her son. And suddenly there was this blip, blip, blip on the monitor. The medical staff comes racing back in. They can't believe this has happened. He's airlifted to the Children's Hospital in St. Louis, where a doctor who was known for his expertise in treating drowning victims took charge of the case. He told the family that while his recovery from death was a miracle, there was little chance, if any, that this boy would survive, and if he did, he would be severely brain impaired. There appeared to be absolutely no hope. Yet this little boy's family, and especially his very stubborn mom, refused to give up. They believed in God's ability to resurrect and heal, so they continued to pray fervently. Some on the hospital staff kind of made fun of the mother's faith and her insistence that God could heal her son. But it happened. It's a true story. 9 days after he went under, he came into consciousness with no signs whatsoever of any mental impairment. Medical staff was shocked. They were convinced that they had seen a true miracle, which they had. And because of this encounter, many on the hospital staff had spiritual breakthroughs of their own because of this boy that broke through the ice. The story is recorded in the book, The Impossible. The movie came out this past Wednesday. I went over to see it at the mall, and I want to encourage you to either read the book or go see the movie. Now, we all may have questions on why God seems to intervene in some situations and not others. The events of Easter tell us, though, that we worship a God who's alive and active in this world, whom we can know through the person of Jesus. We may all have our doubts and have our questions. Even Mary Magdalene was shocked at her encounter with Jesus in that cemetery garden. Even the disciples didn't believe at first. Even Thomas, the disciple who didn't have the opportunity to see Jesus with the rest of the disciples, said, "I will not believe until you show me the scars from the nails." So we, with our questions and doubt, we're in good company. But here's my question to you on this Easter Sunday. Are you truly open to encounter with Jesus wherever and however he may come to you? Many of us here could tell you stories of how we've encountered Jesus and how those encounters have led to spiritual breakthroughs that have changed how we see and how we experience life. Easter is about God working in ways that go beyond our ability to explain. It's about encountering God as God breaks through in unexpected ways. And Jesus tells us, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, and that he will open the door that we might encounter him and have breakthroughs of faith. Camellia Griffith sums it up this way in a very simple prayer. My God, help me to see you in ways I've never imagined before. And that's my prayer for you this Easter weekend, that you would keep on asking, that you would keep on seeking, that you would keep on knocking so that Jesus might be able to meet you where you are and give you hope in your present circumstances and the hope of eternity. Let's pray. Lord God, you have this way of breaking into our lives in unexpected ways. Help us to always keep the door to our life open to you. Give us hope in our daily lives and the hope in your promise of eternal life. We pray this in the name of the risen Christ. Amen.